Good evening. If you would please turn in your Bibles to Luke 17. And we will be reading verses 11 to 19. Luke 17, 11 to 19. And please stand as we read the Word of God. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Now this man was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, so much for who you are and what you do for us, even when we do not deserve it. Lord, I pray that you would guide me as I speak tonight. Pray that my words would not be mine, but that they would be yours. Lord, thank you for your Son and who he is. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What I want to look at tonight is the fact that life does not have the ability to satisfy 100%. Life in itself does not give us a purpose. Life in itself does not give us joy. Life in itself does not give us satisfaction. Life in itself does not give us a thankful attitude. However, the giver of life does. And when we know personally the giver of life, the life that each one of us has right now, we will be able to find that joy, that peace, that love, that contentment, that thankfulness. And it is only when we acknowledge and know the giver of life. In this first section, we will be looking at the heart of Jesus and how he was obedient to his Father in fulfilling his mission. And secondly, even though Jesus was facing not so pleasant circumstances, he showed mercy to others. And so we are looking at the mission of Jesus and the mercy of Jesus. In verses 11 to 14, we read, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off." Jesus was going up to Jerusalem to die. This is a theme that we see all throughout the book of Luke. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, and he was steadfastly going there, and nothing deterred him. If you would look with me at Luke 9:51, and we will look at some passages following. Luke 9:51. "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face." And then flipping to chapter 18, verses 31 to 33. "Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man, they will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, but the third day he will rise again. Verse 35. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. 19:1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Verse 11. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. And then verse 28. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. He knew that he was going to be killed. He knew that he was going to die, and yet on his way up, he still cared for others. It's one thing to be punished for something that you know you did wrong, and you knew that if you were caught, you were going to be punished. But it's a whole nother matter when you know that you did nothing wrong, and when your accusers know that you did nothing wrong. It's a whole nother matter. Because Jesus did not deserve to be killed. He did not deserve to be scourged. He did not deserve any of the things that were going to happen. And yet, even though he knew of the pain that was waiting, even though he knew of the agony that was coming upon him, he still showed mercy to others, even to this nation that would soon sentence him to death. But we see that Jesus did not only seek to please his Father through his obedience as he was fulfilling his mission, but he also sought to show mercy to those even when he was experiencing difficult circumstances. Verses 12 to 14, then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Luke doesn't specify which village. Some men are saying, well, Jesus was over here, and then he needed to come here, and so that's why he was going between Galilee and Samaria. But that's not the point. The point is the account that is following of Jesus' mercy on these 10 lepers. These 10 lepers, as they stood at a distance, they cried out to him, Lord, Master, have mercy on us. They stood at a distance according to the law. In Leviticus 13:46, it says they need to say, I'm unclean, unclean. And they are apart from everybody. They need to stand afar off. And they are outside the city. They are not allowed in. They are not allowed contact with anybody because their disease was so contagious. So with these men standing afar off, they didn't approach Jesus like some other lepers did, as we see earlier in the book of Luke. But they stood afar off, and they lifted their voices. So what is so bad about leprosy? Why was it so looked down upon in the Bible? Well, leprosy in the Bible, it includes a lot of different skin diseases, but it also includes Hansen's disease. And Hansen's disease, it affects the cartilage on your nose, disfiguring your face. It affects your eyes. It affects your nerves. It affects almost every part of your body. And so while it disfigures and maims and destroys one, they don't feel it because it has already cut off the nerves and you can't feel anything. And so it looks like they are experiencing tons of pain, but they aren't feeling any of it. It just spreads over the body, and it soon will kill. And it's also contagious. So that is why these people needed to be set apart from the rest of their brethren. In Leviticus 13, we see that leprosy spreads and that it defiles. MacArthur writes, their disease was incurable, their situation hopeless, their lives miserable. Jesus offered the only chance for deliverance. And so they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, Have mercy on us. They call him Jesus because that's his name. They call him Master, which is translated chief or commander. But who really was Jesus to them? Was he just a mighty healer that had extraordinary powers over death itself and diseases? Or did they view him as something more, such as the Son of God, the Messiah, the ruling master and commander of the universe? Whatever the case was, Jesus knew their motives for them calling out to him, Master, have mercy on us. And even though he knew their motives, he still showed mercy. Verse 14, it says, so when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Turn with me to Leviticus 14. Leviticus 14, 1 through 4. Jesus, he was, even though he came as someone fulfilling the law, and even though after him we don't need to follow the law anymore because Jesus is the law, he is the one that he could only ever fulfill it perfectly, he still adhered to the law. And when he said, go and show yourselves to the priests, this was part of the law. Leviticus 14, 1 through 4, then the Lord said to Moses, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him, and indeed if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedarwood, scarlet, and hyssop. The whole rest of the chapter continues on with some of the rituals for cleansing lepers. And they went. And as they went, they were cleansed. So unlike other miracles that Jesus had shown, he didn't come over to them, lay his hands on them. He didn't lift up his hands and say, according to your faith, let it be done. No, he said, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now this required faith on their part. If Jesus would have said something, be healed, and then they would have been healed, but he said, no, go. And as they went, they were healed. This is the same type of account as found in 2 Kings 5. Please turn with me there. 2 Kings 5, this is the account of Naaman. 2 Kings 5 and then 9 through 15. Now Naaman, he was the commander of the army of the king of Syria, who was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. In verse 9, now Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha, he sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Now Naaman, he became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? And he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more than when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He went And when he obeyed, he was cleansed. These 10 lepers, as they went, as they had faith that they could be healed, they went. In this first section, we saw Jesus' heart as he obeyed God, his Father, by fulfilling the mission to which he was assigned. But we also see Jesus' mercy to others, even when life was not very promising for him. He was facing death. I now want to focus on the hearts of 10 men. And in this section, we will see what man's mission was and why he received something better than just physical mercy. Verses 15 and 16a. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Of the 10 men who were healed, one of them recognized that this man was more than a mere mighty healer. He recognized him as God incarnate, Jesus Christ. It says, when he returned, I can just imagine them calling out to Jesus, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Jesus looking at them from afar off and saying, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And so they started going. And all of a sudden they look at their hands. And this man is like, my nose, my fingers, my toes, they're all there. Glory to God! You have healed me. And he says he fell at his feet and giving him thanks. This man's spiritual eyes were opened and he saw Jesus as the Son of God. This man recognized who Jesus really was and he worshiped him. In Luke 5:8, we see Peter having the same reaction as Jesus has just blessed him with a whole boatload of fish. And Jesus saw Jesus and he says, "Oh Lord, depart from me, for I am an unclean man. I am a sinner. Depart from me." When you see who Jesus is, and when you acknowledge who he really is, you will worship him. It will be so big, it will be so literally out of this world that you won't be able to contain it. And you will worship and thank God for who he is and what he has done for you. Mercy shown to the one man. We see that this man who is truly thankful in spirit glorified God. To Jesus, it did not matter who he was, or who his ancestors were, or who his mother-in-law was, or who he himself was. He healed him because this man showed faith and recognized him for who he really was. And it is interesting to note that in 16b, Luke writes, as he was inspired to by the Holy Spirit, and this man, he was a Samaritan. It is interesting to note that there was at least one Samaritan in this group of 10 men. Most likely were Jews, but this man we definitely know was a Samaritan. The only reason why these men were together was because with tragedy and misfortune, it often has a way of bringing men together, men who are at odds with each other. Normally, the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. The Samaritans hating the Jews because they thought the Jews were stuck up and prideful and not kind to everybody else. The Jews hated the Samaritans because they were half-breeds. They married Gentiles and they were not whole-blooded Jews. And they worshiped strange gods and they didn't worship in the temple. And so there was this huge enmity between them. And so with this Samaritan being part of this group, It is very interesting to note that they were with each other. But to Jesus, it did not matter that he was a Samaritan. When Jesus said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests," as all 10 went, which included the Samaritan, they were all healed. Verse 17, it says, "So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they?'" One author writes, "These men should have been gratefully worshiping Jesus, but having taken what they were given from him, they felt no compulsion to remain. Since their interest in him was only selfish and superficial, they had no desire to worship or even give him thanks." The interest was only selfish and superficial. And so when they got what they wanted, they left without giving him thanks. They no doubt were leaving to go tell their wives and their daughters and their sons and their grandparents and their uncles and to go show themselves to the priests. But amidst all their joy, they forgot the one who healed them. They were going to go offer sacrifices. They were going to go get the birds and have the blood sprinkled over. They were going to fulfill the law and all of its regulations. But they were blind. The man who had just healed them, he was the lawgiver. But their eyes were blind to the light of the world. Nowadays, it is a fact that 9 out of 10 people are unthankful. They are ungrateful for life, for family, for friends, for finances, for food. They take this all for granted and are not thankful. When something happens good to them, they say, "Well, I deserved it." And when something bad happens, they go, "God, why did you do this to me?" Their mind is warped. And I can't say I'm perfect at this either. When I have good things given to me, I sometimes forget to thank God as much as I asked him for it. And when something bad happens, it's hard not to say, but it is possible. It's hard not to say, "God, why did you do this?" But we need to remember that whether it's good or bad, God has a plan that is so much bigger than ours, something that we cannot fathom, something that our brains cannot comprehend. As these men went out to do all the requirements for fulfilling the regulations of the law, they missed the point. These supposedly righteous men were blinded to the wonderful light of the world. Turn with me to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verses 1 through 4. "Thus says the Lord, 'Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you will build me? And where's the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. He who kills a bull is as if he slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering as if he offers swine's blood. He who burns incense as if he blesses an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations, so I will choose their delusions and bring their fears on them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight.'" These men were self-righteous. These men wanted to continue to fulfill the law and all of its regulations when they did not know the lawgiver. And God says, to these men, I do not delight in these sacrifices. I do not delight in your offerings. But this man is the one in whom I will delight, who is humble and contrite of spirit. Isaiah was written more than 400 years before this book was written. And we see that Israel was still going through the same troubles. They were going through the same problems. They just could not see the light of the world. And it was not because he hid himself from them. He was right in front of their eyes. They chose not to acknowledge him. In verse 16, we understand that this man was a Samaritan. However, in verse 18, Jesus calls him a foreigner. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? By Jesus calling this man a foreigner, he was showing the disciples and possibly others who were around him that it did not matter who this man was. It didn't matter that he was a Samaritan. It didn't matter that he lived a godless lifestyle. It didn't matter what his ancestors were. It didn't matter anything. He regarded the Samaritan no more wicked than any other person. He loved them, and he wanted to heal him, even though he was so far from the truth, especially since he was so far from the truth. But the cool thing is that he was not just healed of a physical disease. Most importantly, we see that this foreigner, this Samaritan, was cleansed spiritually because of his faith in Jesus Christ. In verse 19, it says, "And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" This is a different word. And when it says it has made you well, it means it has saved you. Your faith has saved you. It did not matter how sick this man was. We already see that he had one of the worst diseases, and Jesus healed him when he cleansed his leprosy. But now when he put his faith in Jesus Christ, and when he saw him as more than a mighty healer, Jesus healed him of his spiritual disease, which was sin. You see, Jesus did not and does not only love the Jewish people. Jesus does not only love Christians. Jesus loves the whole world. Even in John 3, we see that God loved the world, and he gave his Son for the world, that whoever believes in him, he will be healed and he will be given eternal life. Jesus wants to heal all of us of our greatest disease, which is sin. We see the heart of Jesus. And then we saw the hearts of 10 men and how 9 took it for granted that they were healed. But one made it his mission to glorify God for the mercy which was given to him, because he recognized that it was none other than God himself. All 10 men experienced God's mercy. However, only one man experienced the saving mercy of God because he humbled himself and recognized who Jesus Christ was. In conclusion, there were 10 sick men, 10 who knew that they were physically sick, 1 who acknowledged that it was more than just physical sickness, 9 took it for granted that they were healed by this mighty healer, while 1 recognized that he just saw God. 9 men went on their way, no doubt happy to be rid of this terrible disease and go live a normal life again. 1 man went his way knowing his life would never be the same because he had just met the giver of life, of eternal life. What about you and you and you? If you have believed in Jesus Christ as someone more than just a mighty healer, but as your only hope for spiritual healing, how are you doing? Do you rejoice always? Do you give thanks in everything? Do you glorify God with thanksgiving every day in everything? And it's not easy. I know that. I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm talking to you. It's not easy, but it is possible. What do our lives look like? The opening words to one of my favorite songs start as, "Make my life an alleluia, a song of praise to you each day. Make my life an alleluia." Can we truly say this? If we are Christians, we ought to. We need to be a sweet-smelling aroma to the world around us. We need to stand out as a rose of a different color, different smell, because I think all roses smell the same. But you need to be different. 9 out of 10 people are ungrateful and not thankful for what they have. Are you going to be different, or are you going to just kind of fit in with the mold of the world? But for those of you who have not trusted Christ as their healer, as the life giver, you guys need to see that he is your only hope for joy, for peace, for satisfaction, for purpose, for contentment in life. Because life is going to try, sometimes it's going to try to offer you those things, and it's never going to satisfy. You are never going to have a full-blown purpose while you do not know the giver of life. You're going to think that you have joy. You're going to think that you found love, but you have not until you find the giver of life. Because of what Jesus did for us by coming to earth and living life as a perfect human being, as the Son of God incarnate, and by dying on the cross for us, for our sins, for all of the sins that we ever will commit, and that we ever have committed. And not only by dying, but by rising again, we are able to be healed. Jesus set his eyes toward Jerusalem, knowing that he was going to be killed, but he had a purpose. And this purpose was to save you and me. He did this for us, knowing that it would cost us nothing, knowing that it would cost him everything. Jesus says, now is the day of salvation. Do not wait. It is written, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your hearts that Christ rose from the grave. And the good news is, you will be saved. You will know where you are going. You will know what happens when you die. You know what will happen after death. It does not need to be a mystery anymore. Let this be your best Thanksgiving ever. Not because you have all the family you want, not because you have all the food you want, not because you have 2 turkeys instead of one, but because you now have purpose in life. Because you have joy, because you have something that you can truly be thankful about. Just as the lepers could not save themselves from their diseases, neither can we, as wicked, sinful human beings, separated from holy God. Nothing that we do will rid ourselves of our horrid disease, which is sin. Just as leprosy disfigures, distorts, and destroys, so too does sin. Believe in Jesus and be healed tonight. Let's pray. Well, Father God, thank you so much that you are the giver of life. Thank you, Lord, that it does not matter what background we come from. It does not matter how much we have opposed Jesus Christ. Lord, it does not matter who we are, but when we come to faith in you, Lord, you will save us. Well, Lord, I pray that we would call you Master, not just because of your mercies from day to day and that we are still breathing and that we are still walking and that we are still seeing, but Lord, that we would be able to call you Master because we acknowledge and see you as the Son of God, high and lifted up. Lord, thank you for coming to earth to die for us. Lord, knowing that we do not deserve it. Lord, we deserve eternal damnation because we rebelled against a holy God. Lord, help us to live lives that are worthy to you, that are pleasing to you, that are a sweet-smelling aroma to you. God, thank you for who you are and what you have done. In Jesus' holy and precious name, with thanksgiving, amen.